from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your host for Chatterbox.
That's right, here's your hosts. My name's Alon.
And my name's Aura.
And my name is Rich.
My name's Rich, is what you should have said.
Richard!
Dude, Rich totally lost his voice this weekend. We all did.
I'm amazing.
I'm so disappointed that you've got it back.
Yeah, you should have heard me literally yesterday this time. I was still pretty rough.
Rich, how are you doing over there?
Yeah, because I really
don't even get me started.
Continue
hot property.
Talking to a middle-aged Jewish woman from Jersey.
All right, so here's our CES experience. We drive down there late Wednesday night. We get to a friend of the show, the house of, or an apartment, the friend of the show. We stay there for a few hours
in Vegas.
Yeah, in Vegas. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Get there at like 2:30 in the morning or something like that.
Hot girls?
Not quite. And because it was just a couple, there were no multiple girls. So we stay there for a few hours. Then we go to the hotel where everybody else is staying, right? And
including Michael Pachter.
No, I don't think he was staying at
that. Not until the next night. Anyways.
Yeah, so we hang out pretty much at the hotel and just wait for new people to come in, even though the show starts, and we just hang out there all day and then get some food and then hang out some more, and we never even went to the show that day. Kind of lame.
It's just that exciting.
But Thursday night, there was a Sony party. Like, all companies always put on their parties, and it's open bar and whatever, so they had really good drinks at the Sony party. Although before the Sony party, we went out, we saw this football game that you were amazed by.
Oh, the Gators, baby. Woo woo.
All right, so Gators versus what? Oklahoma?
Sooners, yeah.
Oklahoma versus Florida, right? And we were there. We're actually sitting with Wedbush Morgan people with Michael Pachter, and that was crazy.
Yeah.
And
were they like total party animals, the Wedbush
Morgan
people?
Well, he was excited about the game.
The sports game.
Yes.
Yeah, Pachter was pretty excited about the game, to say the least.
Yeah, his team won. So, which was Florida. The Gators, which I guess your brother's a big fan of, too.
Yeah, he is.
So they play the ball, of the foot.
Yes. So anyway, I think that the Sony poker party is on at 8, and the football game's still going. So I haul my ass down from Planet Hollywood over to MGM, which is not exactly a short walk.
It's a mile.
It's a medium walk. It's not a long walk, but it's not a short walk.
It's a long walk.
It's a medium walk. For Rich, it's a long walk, but so is the stairs.
Well, he walks on easy.
Yeah. So I head down there. Turns out that it starts at 9, not 8. So I book it back to the place, hang out with them a little bit more. Then we go up to like the Capcom suite where they're showing off Street Fighter 4.
Yeah, that was cool.
And we know the Capcom people, and Ron knows the Capcom people. So,
side note on this.
Major Nelson's up there with Pachter and us.
Oh, he was up there, wasn't he?
Yeah.
When we walked into this place, I don't know if you guys know, they're making like these arcade sticks for the 360 for Street Fighter 4.
Yeah.
When we walked in, like, I thought they had arcade systems up there, because I didn't see it, because there's just like a wave of people, and I heard all these clicking and the smashing of buttons, and I was like, do they have arcade units? And I was like looking, I'm like, those are 360s with controllers.
Yeah.
Like, they sounded awesome and they feel awesome.
They're really good. And I was talking to the guy who helped design them. Like, Mad Catz teamed up with Capcom.
Yeah.
And Seth Killian is like the community manager for a lot of Capcom stuff. And he's the one, like, he used to be like the U.S. grand champion or something of Street Fighter. And that's kind of how he connected with Capcom and ended up working for them. And he helped design these control sticks and made sure that they were absolutely high quality sticks, and they are. I mean,
they're like customizable and stuff too. Like, you can modify them and
yeah, like they use actual arcade parts. Yeah. And given that, you can also open it up and switch the parts, because like some people
it's
like an
sweet.
Oblong mouse, some people like a ball mouse. It's based off of Japanese preference, which is ball mouse, convex buttons. I'm an arcade US
mean joystick.
Joysticks, yeah. Not mouse. Yeah. So
well,
a ball joystick. Meaning a sphere at the top rather than the football one. I prefer the oblong football one like American arcades had, and concave buttons. So I'm right because I played in America.
I prefer the three-pronged star.
Okay, I don't know what you're talking about. So anyway, you can open
but
it
you
up,
can
though,
get it.
And you could pop in some Hap Controls parts. For those who don't know, Hap Controls is one of the very few companies that makes arcade parts. And so you can pop in real parts, swap it out. It's intended to be openable. And
that's
with.
That's surprising.
And
but
the thing's only got, like pre-ordered from Amazon. You can't
the thing's
buy it any
got
other
like
way.
A like a 15-foot cable. I think it's 15 feet. It's long.
Pretty long.
Yeah.
But so anyway, high quality. They're also making control pads, but the control pads still have a crappy D-pad. So
yeah,
screw that. But
it has the three-button layout like Sega Genesis controller. It looks.
It's actually got four buttons, but the ones on the right are black.
Oh, is it four?
Yeah, because the left and right button are there.
I know, because it's like the A, B, X, Y, and then like
left button, right button, and then left trigger, right trigger.
I thought the triggers were still on the...
No.
It doesn't really matter. There's like a whole bunch of buttons.
On the front of it, meaning like facing the same direction as a person, are starting back.
You have to lift up the entire joystick and use your index finger.
No, what they should have done is put some buttons on the side for pinball.
No, I was talking about the controller, not the arcade. I don't know. There's a bunch of buttons, and they're awesome, is what it comes down to.
Oh, you say the control pad has
the control pad has this, like a Genesis layout.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus the control,
D-pad's a little different, but it's still lame. Yep. Anyway, so after that, we finally get to the poker party. We get there like 45 minutes late, but they're just about finished signing people up, and I play.
And you're for those who don't know, you are
I'm an okay poker player.
You're like a champion poker player.
Not quite. But I did. So, I mean,
but
I used
you're like
deal
a,
poker.
You're like a hustler. Like you pretend like you're not good. And
there were still
kick,
a lot of people that
butt.
Weren't at the Sony party with names on the table.
Yeah.
Just
were
to
they?
Put that out there, when we got there, dude, I swear there were easily 50 name tags on that table.
There were a lot. Yeah. So anyway, to make the longish story kind of short,
Alon's balling.
There were a few of us there, right, from this group. Not all came. But Ted was there, or Rich was there. Rich, who goes by Nameless Ted in this particular group of people.
Yeah.
So I played poker. Nobody else did. And I won't bore you with the story of the actual poker and how it went.
Did you play against any, like, marquee names, celebrities?
No. But suffice it to say, when I got to the final table, I had very little money, but I somehow managed to pull first place right out of my ass. And I won a $500 SonyStyle.com gift card, or, like, I could just go to a Sony store, right? So that's pretty awesome. I get to buy some stuff with my Sony gift card. Kick ass.
It's excellent.
And then we ended up at another club. Well, several
other
things.
Not that night. That was the last place we went.
The next night was like more Capcom. No, okay. We saw Resident Evil 5 being played on the side of a hotel. Had to be 150
on
feet
Planet
wide.
On Planet Hollywood. It was
not Planet Hollywood. It was on...
No, it was on Planet Hollywood. That's where we went.
Okay, yeah.
Oh,
right.
You guys.
I'm just
right.
saying.
On Planet Hollywood hotels, man. Two of them at the same time. Apparently you can play two-player.
Left screen, right screen, yeah. There was
crazy. And
then it crashed.
That was just weird.
And people playing it, or just what?
Yeah, people were playing it. You could sign up to play.
You could sign up and play it.
Like a 150-foot widescreen on the side of a hotel. But it was Vegas is full of lights, right? And so it was projectors with, you know,
so you can't see
crap. It was hard to
see it. I mean, you could see it.
But you get to say that you played Resident Evil 5 on the side of a freaking hotel in Vegas.
It was such a bad level, though.
It
was the one level that they put you on a boat and make you stand on it, and the boat moves, and it was on rails.
And it was in the dark, probably.
Oh, yeah, it was dark.
Yeah,
but it was the one level that was on rails, and it's like, come on.
Anyway,
are you serious?
So that was good times, and then we did more Capcom parties, and Rich was walking around in a banana suit. We have some pictures. I have a picture of you and
you
Ron.
Do?
Well, his Tumblr has it.
Oh, okay, because so, I haven't seen any of this.
I also have a picture of us with Major Nelson and Michael Pachter and me making lewd hand signals.
Did you see the picture where we were all crying at the Planet Hollywood?
No.
We took two pictures. One where all of us are like happy and smiling, and then one we're all crying, and it's awesome because Michael Pachter's crying.
Oh. Okay,
awesome.
Yeah. That's cool. So.
And you were doing a lewd gesture in that picture.
Of course.
Yeah.
I do my best. So we had a good time at CES. Is there anything gaming related that we actually want to talk about at CES?
Did anything gaming
3D
related
Vision.
Happen?
I mean, they showed up like Killzone 2. Like you could play. It was gaming's not a big thing at CES. But they had like a playable demo of Killzone 2, which at this point, does anybody care about?
What was weird is the people we were with did kind of care, and I didn't. I was like, guys, it's
no, they didn't.
It's gonna suck because Sony's hyping it, so you know it's gonna suck.
Like there was the entire we went to like a couple different Sony booths, and there was like it was that one thing that was strangely really big in like the PC area was Mirror's Edge. Like they were really pushing Mirror's Edge.
I didn't understand that.
I think Mirror's Edge was a really cool game, and it was actually really fun on PC. It controlled a lot better on PC because you have the
they
mouse.
They have to recoup all their losses from the fact that nobody bought the console version.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's something that's good to push on PC because I think there's at least some market there to make a few sales because it was a good game. But like everybody, like it was at the Asus booth, it was at the Nvidia booth, it was at the MSI booth, it was at every booth with computers, they're like,
that just means that EA said, hey guys, you should use this as your example game.
Basically.
Right, and probably paid them off, which, you know, it's not a bad game, so whatever.
Yeah.
Or maybe it is.
And then there's the 3D thing with NVIDIA, so.
Yeah, everything was 3D, and apparently NVIDIA is now making these really tiny, like, putting together a tiny little computer chipset thing with a hardcore video processor. And then is going to, you know, sell that to PC makers and stuff. But I don't care about PC stuff. Rich is the PC guy.
Well, no. What he was saying, though, is it's for, like, netbooks, which is something you're interested in.
He's saying they can take that.
Does this mean my NVIDIA stock's going to go back up finally?
No.
No.
Because the 3D really wasn't. The stuff I really wanted to find, like, they weren't, like, it was in the corner or they didn't even show it. Like, the Tegra, it wasn't even there.
You sure? There were only, like, 10 halls, and we went to maybe three.
I looked to see if anybody was showing anything on Tegra, and they're not. But Creative had some cool stuff.
Sadly, we didn't go to any sort of porn awards or anything.
I'm very disappointed in you.
It's all right. There were plenty of the girls walking around. But So, CES, kind of lame for video games, but pretty awesome for just getting loaded and playing poker.
And for Michael Pachter's football team.
And for the Gators. So we'll be back to talk about more actual video game stuff right after the break.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
All right, we're back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio.
It's Chatterbox Video Game
it's,
Radio?
It's.
Yeah. We. We are.
We are.
Well, we compose.
We also are.
Chatterbox Video
and,
Game Radio.
And it is.
Now, I want to point out that we do have a phone number if you want to call and ask us stuff. You know.
Whoa.
Stuff.
Whoa.
Just crazy. By us, we mean Alon and Ara.
Yeah.
Because we don't like Rich talk to the listeners?
Apparently
well,
not.
We tried it before, and it wasn't working out.
When did we try it?
Yeah, well.
So.
Anyway, 866-536-1100
don't point your finger at me.
1100 if you're interested. You can also go to chatterboxgameshow.com and see the phone number there if you ever forget or if I don't mention it enough or if you just want to call and harass the radio station because you're listening to the podcast and we're not live right now.
That works.
Yeah, give them a call.
I'd rather you not actually do that, but whatever.
Yeah.
866-536-1100.
If you're some old, like, retired Army guy who...
What's the dude that's on the station during the day? The big guy.
I don't know, man.
I don't know, but let's talk about video games.
Yeah. And about video game universities. University of Advanced Technology.
Well, why not?
Their website, uat.edu. I like talking about that. Probably not going to talk about it much this show, but
it's, you know, it's good always to make sure they're still...
Yeah, let me mention them.
Mention them.
They're important to us. All right. So you have some things you want to talk about.
3D.
3D is what we wanted to talk about now, right? Or do you want to do one
I
of your
want to talk about some point.
I've got some. I want to do a little quiz with you guys again if you promise not to cheat.
Number two.
Like I apologize time. To the listeners when I say you have stuff to talk about. I'm pointing and you can't see it.
Right.
Right. So
But our listeners are really smart. And they know that when you say you mean Ara.
And idea, it's not me.
Yeah. Okay. So let's get some of your stuff, Ara.
All right. So we're going to have a little bit of a smorgasbord here. Right?
Ooh.
So,
I like food.
You guys know how much I like, you know, statistics, numbers, things like that.
I don't.
Well, I do. So now you do. So Edge, you know, the magazine Edge, right? Not the wrestler.
The T-Mobile network.
Or whatever that is. They did a study, and they surveyed people who owned portable devices, specifically the DS, PSP. And then they just said,
Game Gear?
Let's include the iPhone. So, okay, sure. Anyway, I've always thought this to be true intuitively, and I don't want to give too much away, but why don't you guys just hazard a guess at, you know, for people who have, you know, portable video games, how often or how many percent, let's say, do people who own play them at home as opposed to outside of the home?
90%
play at home?
So the question is, how many of the people who own these things bother to play them when they have access to other stuff at home?
Yep.
No. Play them at home more than any other location.
90%.
Oh, that's the question. So
yes. Play them at home more often.
Primarily using it at home, even though it's a portable machine.
Exactly.
Because On the Crapper is still at home. Yeah. 90%.
I tell you.
Okay, well, we know where Rich spends his time. How about you, Alan?
So here's the thing. One thing I discovered recently is I actually don't play a lot of video games. Like, I will find a game that I like and play it a lot, right?
So you play a lot of video game.
Well, sort of. Like, if a game comes along that I'm interested in, I can be very interested in it, and that's great. But I feel like I've played so many, and I've talked about this before.
Yeah,
like,
we're kind of in the same boat.
Okay.
Like, I've played so
many
games that it's hard to get me interested.
How many people play mobile games at home? That's the question.
Hey, you be quiet.
Yes.
I'm saying, even I have played my DS Lite, sat there and played it for a really long time. Usually it's in bed, right?
Right.
Because that's a good place to play games.
And I found myself doing the same things.
But then I don't play it for 6 months because there's no game that comes along that I'm interested in.
Right.
Right. So it's really hard to do a survey like this because it's not consistent game time.
Well,
whatever I happen to be playing at the time.
Just pretend it's a perfect survey.
All right. Well,
guess.
We can do that. So you're looking for a percentage?
Sure. Give me a percentage. Rich says 90%. What do you
think? You can do a range if you want to.
I'm going to go – who's the whole group? Game players in total?
People who own iPhones and DSs and PSPs.
iPhone throws them
off.
Not
all three. Just at least one.
So people who own these portable systems
– But if it's people
taking
iPhones
primarily,
it's throwing everything off.
Right.
So it makes no reflection on whether or not they own a real console.
Right.
Right.
But if they own a DS, they probably own a real console. I would definitely aim low. I wouldn't go higher than 30.
30? Okay. Well, you're both wrong.
Oh.
Well, I'm exactly right.
It's actually 79%.
I was closer.
It was pretty friggin' close.
Which...
I highballed it.
You know. Yes, well, you
but
would.
That was purposeful.
Okay. Well, 79%.
Well, wait a minute. Now you rethink. It's like, if you've got it, you're going to play it at home. People, when they're out, maybe they don't play games. But they buy these
But no, it's
to
because
play
playing games
it's not that complicated.
Outside of your house isn't convenient. Like,
well,
you can play games on a bus, but like, who wants to play games on a bus?
I always found that to be kind of like ironic and just, I don't know, my own gaming habits with the portable systems. I was like, I never really cared. I mean, maybe if you're someone who, you know, I don't know, has to go on the subway every day or something.
Yeah.
Then it's cool, right? But I never really found myself in enough situations where I cared to actually play a portable device outside my home. And when I was playing a portable device, it's not because it's a portable device. It's because
it has a good game.
I want to play this game, and it just so happens to be only available on this portable device.
Yeah.
And so I've always wished that I could just play them on the flipping TV. But that's a whole other story.
Well,
for
me,
though,
with the PSP.
Obviously, like I said, for me, like, toilet, like,
okay.
Who doesn't love to play Picross on the toilet? Seriously.
Well, I love to keep my equipment away from the toilet.
You know what I'm talking about, Alon. Don't say you haven't done it.
Oh, hell yeah, man.
Yeah.
All right, so we got another angle here, okay?
So angle away.
Yeah, so we got we have some really interesting statistics on the resale value of games and of games that are published by one company on average, right?
Okay.
So, you know, this is kind of like cars. You know, cars have a certain resale value. Well, apparently, I've got the top 10 games by resale value and the bottom 10 games by resale value, right?
I bet the bottom 10 are all sports games.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let's see if one's right.
2 cents.
Sports game? No. In fact, only 3 of them are sports games.
What?
Seriously?
Yes.
That's
not enough
true.
Sports games were released then, apparently.
So, now the top, the bottom 10 have all... resale value is lost money by 70-82%, right? So the worst game by this metric is Sega Superstars Tennis, which is in fact a sports game.
Has high resale value?
Low.
No, it has low resale value.
You know why, though? I think that came free with certain things.
Yeah, it's possible. And it's, you know, followed closely by the Spiderwick Chronicles, whatever that is.
In order to be on the bottom.
And El Tigre, whatever the heck that is.
What? In order to be on the bottom of the list, does it have to be more than $0? Because, like, Madden 04 is literally worth nothing. Or, like, 06.
Well,
I don't think they're looking at games that old.
Apparently not. No. Okay, so let's look at the top 10 now.
Or even 07 is
what do you months. What do you guys think has the best resale value of all games in 2008? We're just counting 2008 here.
Fallout 3.
That is number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 7 Survival Edition.
Okay.
Only. In 2008, you said?
In 2008.
When did the game have to be released?
In 2008.
Okay.
I would say
a game released at the very end of 2008, so it hasn't had time to lose value yet. So let's go with Gears of War 2.
Or I'd say World at War.
Wrong and wrong.
Okay.
Any more guesses?
Spore.
Also wrong.
Yeah, right.
Now, here's the interesting thing. The top game...
Halo 3.
...has actually gained value in its resale
very
price
nice.
By over 55%.
Okay, what games are really hard to get?
Difficult to get. Coldiceps.
These are all domestic games, right?
Yes.
Is it a mobile game?
This is not a mobile game.
Okay.
Just tell us the system it's on.
Yes. Multiple. It's probably on the Wii.
You can guess. Yes, it is on the Wii.
Okay.
On the Wii?
Yeah, of course.
Hard to get Wii game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super Smash Bros. Brawl.
Ooh. Wrong.
That's a good guess.
No, it's a wrong guess.
It's not Mario.
Wii Play. It's what?
Wii Play.
Also wrong.
Mario Why Kart. Would that be...
What?
Mario Kart.
That's number two.
Sunshine.
Appreciating at 30.7%.
It can't be Galaxy.
If you... Appreciated.
Mario Kart appreciated?
By 30%.
How? You can still buy it new for the same price.
I don't know. This is just...
It can't
don't
be Galaxy,
bring things
can
like
it?
That up. If you invested in Mario Kart for the Wii, your return would be 30.7%.
That's better than the stock
yeah!
market.
That's right.
I don't believe
but
it.
But if you invested in this other game, your return would
Wait,
be...
Wait, are we talking so... If you bought it used in 2008 and then you sold it used at the end of 2008?
Okay, so their methodology is the MSRP compared to the average resale price on eBay and Amazon.
Oh, okay. So I want to say Galaxy, but it shouldn't be.
No, and you have 1 minute.
Well, I got Super Smash Brothers Melee.
No, incorrect.
I know, but I mean that was high up on the list, so I want some credit for getting number two.
Yeah, Mario Kart.
Mario Kart number two.
Yeah.
Animal Crossing.
No.
Call of Duty 4.
I will now reveal that number three is Rapala Fishing Frenzy.
Are you kidding me?
Enjoying a hearty rate of appreciation of 17%.
Zach and Wiki?
I don't know what that is. No.
It's a puzzle game thing.
It's so obvious.
Say it.
I'll reveal it when we come back.
Say it now.
You're breaking my balls.
If you want to call us, 866-536-1100.
Venture a guess. We'll send you something.
We'll send you maybe a...
I've got a Street Fighter 4 headband.
All right.
Send
that's
out.
Cool. All right. We'll be
or
back.
Or a tie.
It's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woohoo!
Back again, continuing this quiz of Auras. I remembered back to an article I read recently, which really did state the obvious, that the music rhythm games, like Guitar Hero and Rock Band, are the ones that retain their value best because nobody wants to sell them back, right? They're great party games. They're basically timeless. So I'm going to go
until
with
they break.
Some music rhythm game, right?
Well, I'll give you one more hint.
Okay.
Now, we know it's on the Wii.
Does it have the word Wii in the title? Which narrows it down
to about
90%
of
games.
The MSRP is $89.99.
Yeah, so it's totally Guitar Hero 3.
Not a music game.
Ugh.
What?
What? Sells?
Wait a minute. It's $90 for the Wii?
Yes.
And it's not a music rhythm game?
This should narrow it down.
There isn't anything.
I don't know what else there is.
I'm looking at Metacritic. So here, let's.
What comes with an accessory?
Okay. Rich, well, before you say anything, let's take a look at Metacritic, right? If it's got a high value, it's probably got a high
It's
score.
Not on there. It's not
That's
on there.
That's incorrect.
Mario Galaxy is number one. No. Zelda World of Goo is a... digital game.
Crap.
Smash Brothers,
no.
Rock Band 2, which
no.
you say it's not. Resident Evil 4,
no.
Okami,
Umbrella,
no. Metro Prime
Umbrella
3.
Umbrella Chronicles.
No.
It's not $90. There's nothing for $90. Except, right. like, hardware. Oh, Wii Fit.
Oh, yeah.
Wii Fit is $90.
So yes, it is. Stupid. That's not a game.
Yeah.
Then again, nothing.
It's hardware. It's Wii Fit.
It's a game.
And I was like, what's $90 that has a hardware thingy that's not...
I'm so proud of you, Alon.
It's
you
Wii
are,
Fit.
You are the winner.
You know, right when the Wii Fit came out that week, I saw like two or three of them for sale at Blockbuster
that
Video, and I never go
so
to Blockbuster.
Obvious.
But I could have just bought it and turned around and sold it for $150 that week.
That's right.
You literally
make a 55% profit.
That's so obvious that Wii Fit was the answer.
And after the fact, he says this.
No, it was. Like, it's because
right.
I don't care.
Yes,
it's because I don't care.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
All right, so you're right. It did go higher because of eBay and all that stuff.
So I got a little story for you guys. You want to hear a little story?
All right.
Yeah. I thought we were going to book 3D.
So maybe after the story.
We're not taking turns here?
No, I'm
okay, continue.
Really rude. So World of Warcraft. It's a really popular game.
11.5 million subscribers.
Yeah. And so this academic advisor, right, at the University of Minnesota goes by the name Rapesh, Mr. Rapesh.
Cool.
So one day he meets up with one of his students, and he looks at the student and he says, "Oh, my Lord, your eyes are so red and bloodshot that there's no doubt in my mind that you have been smoking the dope." And the student replies, "Why, no, I haven't been smoking the dope. No, my bloodshot eyes are because I've been playing World of Warcraft all night long and did not sleep."
That sounds like dope.
So,
like, I would actually argue
dope,
that is dope.
One dope or another, right?
Smoking
apparently,
the dope.
This is becoming pretty endemic in schools, and this kind of reminds me of when I was in college.
How old was this kid?
Oh, I don't know. He's college age.
Right? Why are you on the stuff?
So the funny thing is that for me, right, way, way back in 1995.
When you stayed up playing Doom?
Right, playing Doom, yes. And I can remember that I know for a fact that in my college days, Doom was directly responsible for more than one person completely failing all their classes.
Yeah, Zelda Ocarina of Time did that to some people when I went to school.
Really, Zelda?
Well, you know what? I think
that's legit.
No. I'm extended. I think it just caused people to skip class, which was so amazing to me. I equate that to failing. Why would you skip class for a video game? But apparently, lots of people do it. Like Rich
for Zelda. Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, I can understand if you've got like you've got a guild waiting for you. You got to do a, some kind of whatever it is they do over there.
Dude,
yeah,
they're
gonna kick you off the guild.
I still don't get it. What is fun about that game?
Nothing.
I'm so glad you don't play World of Warcraft, Rich, because otherwise I just wouldn't get along with it.
I tried to play it because a lot of my friends played it, and I'm just.
I have a theory about it, right? And it has to do with this psychological concept called a social contract, right? And
where once you make an agreement to play with your friends, then you can't let them down.
Well, I mean, that's basically the gist of it. I mean, I've often found that people who are playing the WoW incessantly and can't stop usually feel like, they're engaged in some kind of contract with the other people there, and so they can't, let their guildmates down or what have you. Although also on an almost related note, I read this other article the other day that said that most people who actually play WoW, they don't play with other people. They quest alone. There's this guy, let's see here.
That can't be true.
Alone.
This guy.
That can't be true.
Well, here's my source.
Dude, there are a lot of losers out there.
So there's this Wired article.
Can't.
Why don't you listen to the facts and then you can do your gesticulations or whatever?
Dude, imagine playing World of Warcraft on a 3D display.
So all right, hold on. Okay, there's this Wired article, right? And this guy said that apparently people who pilot characters who are below level 40 actually spend about 70% of their time questing alone.
That makes sense because no one will bring them onto their team.
Why? Because they suck so bad?
Because they're only level 40. What help are they going to be?
Right. So I find that interesting, right? So what was it? You want to talk about 3D or something?
Well, is that you're going to close so abruptly?
Yes. What source was that? There's
very
no
abruptly.
Way.
It's Wired.
If
Wired
people,
is never wrong.
People under level 40 quest alone, maybe.
Yes, people under level 40.
Okay, but what percent of people are under level 40?
Probably most people.
Probably not.
You don't think most people are under level
40?
Rich
thinks that he represents
yes,
the masses.
Yes, we've run into this
problem
before.
I never even hit level 20 in WoW, okay? Because it was so terrible.
So boring, right?
Yeah.
But people pay $15 a month to play.
But I'm saying a lot of people play it.
I can't get it, man.
Maybe someone who plays WoW can explain this addiction to us.
Dude, I think what we should do is go hang out with a WoW player. Like, we should subject ourselves a whole night. We'd be like, hey, you won the Chatterbox contest, and we're going to come hang out with you for a night. And we're just going to sit there.
Just watch my brother.
Like, I would go there, and I would, like, turn on porn and see if I could get the kid to even turn his head.
Okay, so...
I'd bring real ladies over. I'd go to the strip to Mill, and I'd be like, hey, ladies, we're doing this experiment. We've got this friend who plays World of Warcraft all the time, does nothing else. And we want to see if we can even convince him to, like, look up. So you're going to come by, just in a bathing suit, nothing crazy, and just hang out. We'll hang out. We'll have some pizza, be a little crazy, right, and see if our friend even looks up. And, you know, we'll just bring some smelling salts. So maybe if you pass out from the stink, you can stick around and be awake.
Like, okay, so check. So
be a great experiment, right?
We can do this contest right now. All WoW players, if you're able to get up, and use a telephone, you can call 866-536-1100.
Purple Monkey Dishwasher?
And you can come on, and we'll do the experiment with you. And
what experiment are we doing with them over the phone?
No. If they can call, then they win. If you have that...
Okay, do we have the hot girl, though?
We're not.
And we're gonna figure out something. If we can't get the hot girl, it'll be just Rich instead.
Ew.
Dude, Nixie would totally do it.
But I'm curious, too, because, I don't know. I don't get it either, but also I've understood it has a crack-like effect, and so I've steered away from it because you guys know.
Dude, my lady's busy playing Animal Crossing.
I hate drugs so much.
I guarantee you she's playing Animal Crossing
at home
right now. I keep
away from drugs.
Oh, really?
I keep myself clean.
Right now. She got into it? I'm not surprised.
Well, she's all right. She apparently played it.
She got a layoff.
She played
it
on the GameCube or on the DS a lot. And now she's playing it on the Wii. And I was like, oh, you got a slingshot. Awesome.
That's right. You can't have any of that hot drink.
Great. Hey, make sure you go bury your shovel. Bury your shovel. Just, come back. It'll be golden.
Caffeine-free Coca-Cola for me, please.
Dude, by the way, Animal Crossing is hardcore. I went and I read a fact on it. Like, it's broken up into acres. You got to plant, like, so many trees. And in each quadrant each acre, you can't have more than 6 trees because they'll die off. And you got to pull all these weeds every day. Like, there's investments. You buy the white turnips, man. Buy the white turnips and turn them over that week. You sell them back all to Tom Nook. It's like the friggin' stock market. And it's crazy.
Yeah, it's like this Gaia, but you don't do anything.
But there's no point. There's no goal in the game. It expresses no goal.
Right. It's just, you just
walk around.
Walk
man.
Around and you trade things.
Just walk around.
Hey, Elon.
Like, yeah.
Did you ever use the 15th anniversary Street Fighter arcade controller sticks?
You mean the one that I have in my house?
Yeah.
That I've never used?
Oh, you've never used it?
I have it.
Because, I don't know, somebody I'm not reading right now was, what up, G, is asking how the new ones stack up to the old ones. And apparently you've never used either. Did you use the new ones?
What up, G, from the live chat room?
I did use the new ones, and it is better because the old one, the 15th anniversary, as much as they seem like a real arcade stick, they're not really.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if you look at the bottom side of it, you realize that it's they cut corners building that. And I'm not sure if any of the parts are true arcade parts on that. I'm not going to say they're not. But they might be the smaller version buttons, and nobody wants a small button, right?
Yeah.
So they are a good stick, and I actually mentioned that to Seth when we were at Capcom. I talked about that old one, and he made a point of saying that these are much better, and they are better. But I mean, there have been good sticks for consoles before, like the Virtua Fighter sticks. I think have been real parts, genuine stuff, but those weren't easily available in the United States. I don't think anyway, but I mean, I've sometimes seen them at Fry's and stuff, but this is definitely the best stick ever. It doesn't do anything fancy. It just does things right. I kind of wish, part of me wishes that the fourth row of, or fourth column of buttons weren't there, but the other part's like, you know,
whatever.
It's good to have. They did make it a different color though. So you get 6 white ones and 2 black ones. So you know which ones are going to hit. Anyway, so we'll talk about more stuff when we're back.
Like 3D. All right, it's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Welcome to the final segment of the hour.
You know, we were told, I was told yesterday that John Bono, one of our old forum users and the guy that we stayed with in Vegas.
Oh, not was, U2 the guy?
No, not U2. We were told that he was going to call and talk about stuff, but apparently he
I'm not going to let him talk about it.
Well, he wussed out and didn't call. Penn's on the line, so...
Yeah, maybe he was too busy playing World of Warcraft.
We can probably simplify the whole discussion of 3D
Penn.
By just saying it's, you know, it's still got a lot of evolution. We saw one TV that was 3D without glasses.
There's so much to talk about 3D. You're
but
killing
was it?
Me.
But
no,
was it?
The most of them used LCD shutter glasses, and they actually were pretty good. But the problem is shutter glasses... I don't know if it's the refresh
the resolution
rate or what.
Or something?
No. It's
flickering.
It's no, like but totally I mean, you get half face. The frames. You don't see two frames at once. You see one frame at once, or one eye sees a frame at once. But anyway, my point is, like, even through the shutter glasses, they don't shut it out completely, or they don't shut it out properly. So you still see the duplicated image with the one eye.
Oh.
So I mean, you see predominantly one 3D image, but you also kind of see the ghosted image beside it, and that just ruins it for me. It's like
it's not totally in your face anymore.
No,
it depends how much depth you put to it, though. There's options where you can adjust the depth level.
Well, bottom line is, it's just, for that stuff to really fly, for me to want to wear that on a regular basis when I'm playing games, it would need to be of superior quality.
Like a virtual
and,
boy.
No, part of the problem, too, is it makes everything darker, because you have the shutter glasses on, so it's, like, darker.
Also true.
And you have to have a 120-hertz refresh rate monitor rather than 60.
Also true.
Well, yeah.
Dude, I had some 3D stuff... years ago,
and
my first
go
GDC, it came with LCD shutter glasses, and you had to have some special video card and whatever.
Yep.
So
you have to have an NVIDIA card.
Totally not worth it.
It's just like everybody was doing it. Like Samsung had TVs, Panasonic had TVs that did it. NVIDIA had their GPU that does it.
Before the CES, there were already TVs that could do it.
Yeah, Sharp had a monitor 4 years ago that could do it without glasses.
Without?
Yeah, it's just like you saw Samsung's TV that without glasses.
Yeah.
Because it's based on, instead of using shutter glasses, it uses like a whole bunch of, I don't know what he said, but it's basically you view it from different angles at the same time, like it reflects. But yeah, that pops out at you. That image pops out.
That's
the
crazy.
The 3D glasses are, it goes deep. It looks like it goes deep.
You know
deeper.
What sucked about that one, though? Is that...
You had this perfect spot.
So there's only certain spots where you can see the 3D. The guy was saying like 9 spots around the TV.
Okay.
But what's even worse is like, let's say you get in one of those sweet spots where you see the 3D coming out of the TV with no glasses.
Pot, either way.
Also good, yeah. So you're in one of the sweet spots. The TV we were looking at was so large that even when you're at a sweet spot, part of the TV is not in a sweet spot.
Yeah.
So if you're looking at the center and then you look at the side, it's not coming 3D on the side. It's just looking weird. And in the center, it looks good.
Dude.
So,
yeah, so get a smaller
TV. Popo's saying, I want to see this. Like, why wasn't this at CES? He's saying Texas Instruments, they have it where you wear the glasses, but one's, like, horizontal polarized and one's vertical polarized. So it shows, like, a horizontal image and a vertical image, so there's not flicker, but you see, like, you know what I'm talking about.
Kinda.
You know what?
That's weird.
You know what? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I have no
Instead
idea.
Instead of having two horizontally polarized
so
images.
So one's on the side.
That goes other.
So
you have one that's horizontal and one that's vertical.
You have to turn your head.
No.
Like sideways.
For the record, by the way, just to translate, other, also means
left, right,
alternates.
Right. Alternates.
Yeah.
Instead of alternating images.
That's the other English word.
Oh, gabudger.
Yeah. All right, so 3D, not.
It's cool.
It's really
cool.
It's neat, but it's a parlor trick.
It just seems weird that so many companies are interested in
it. I also regard it as a parlor trick.
Every company had 3D, which seems so weird because it's so immature at this point.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what CES is about, right?
Well,
but you can buy
them.
Right now, you can go online and buy the NVIDIA.
Yeah, but you can't even put in a 3D source.
Yeah, you can buy the monitors now. Samsung has the monitors.
Yeah, but nobody will give you 3D video.
What are you talking about?
No, on
it. The NVIDIA is games only.
That's what you're
Jackface.
I get it. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's $200 just for the glasses and the thing, and they need to buy like a $300 monitor, and it's like people are buying them.
Yeah.
And it's available, and it's not good. And you get dizzy after a while.
Well, maybe we could go back to UAT and study that as a major 3 stereoscopic craziness.
And then it will be good after that.
I kid. I just had to squeeze in another mention of UAT because, you know.
Because you're like squeezing things.
We got to do that during the show. But we've got Penn on the line, so let's bring him on. We've only got a couple minutes left, then we'll put a rest to the show. So, Penn.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, dude?
All right, how are you?
They're introducing 3D because the prices of HD TVs are coming down really fast, and they need something new to get the prices back up.
Oh, is that what
it
is?
Oh,
sage wisdom.
That's a very good observation.
There have been DLP HD TVs that have been 3D ready for a year and a half now. That means nothing, but.
Yeah.
And as far as World of Warcraft, I think the main attraction to people playing...
Good segue.
No, that's how you got to do it, Penn.
Yeah.
Keep it real.
Dog.
Dog.
The main aspect of people playing solo and grinding and all this stuff is because games have the one thing that no other medium can provide, which is the pursuit of power. And this is found in regular RPGs, including Disgaea.
Wait, what do you mean no other thing can provide? Like, real life?
No, I meant in medium. Like, no other media. Like, you don't feel more powerful except for maybe intellectually after seeing a movie or TV show.
Yeah. You know what's interesting about that?
If it's choose your own adventure books.
No, you quiet. That's, you know what's interesting about that is that the whole kind of, like, leveling system in role-playing games, regardless, was always kind of like a simulation of your increase in skill, right? So it's like, because we're not... Your skill is not actually increasing. Hey, wow, that's horrendous.
Sorry about that.
That was... Yeah, you better be sorry. Okay, what was I saying?
The pursuit of power.
Because, right, so here's the funny thing is that now, in normal activities that you do that are skill-based, right, it's like you practice them and you get better at them, right? So in an RPG-type situation, you practice them and your character's improvement of skill is simulated, right? Which, it's kind of insidious in a way because, on the one hand, it's like it's guaranteed linear progress. You know that the more time I put into this, the better the simulation of my skill is, right? The better my character is. And also that my character is never going to get worse by gaining experience, right? So I think that maybe that has a lot to do with it, too. If you're just, for example, I don't know, practicing your beer pong skill, right? The human development of skill at any activity is never linear. You can get really good. You'll plateau for a while. Maybe, you know, you start sucking for a while. And so this is frustrating, and this is why people give up at things, right? So it's like we've got, like, the simulation thing going that is basically, I think, knocking out a lot of the reasons why people would, you know, stop participating. I don't know.
What is the point you're trying to make? Like, I understand. I appreciate the analysis.
That's the analysis. That's
it.
It's
that people like the fact that their character is getting more stronger, and through that character, they're kind of simulating that they have power.
I'm following you, man. It's Aura that I don't understand what he's saying. I mean, I understand what he's saying, but I don't know what
he's
trying
to... It's like an unnatural thing. Like we've.
Were you debating his point?
No, I'm not. No, I'm agreeing with
it.
No,
he was agreeing.
I'm just relating, you know, another side to it, which is like it's just like we've, you know, as software creators, as game makers, we've come up with this, you know, perverse way to kind of like take advantage of, you know, the things that motivate people, right?
What I think is interesting is that Penn was saying it's. Except maybe in the situation of a movie or a TV show when you kind of feel more intellectual. And that's so funny, like, that his mind goes to that because everyone else in the world would say, well, you could read a book and probably, like, learn stuff and feel smarter, right?
Yeah.
And that's the traditional medium that might make you feel better. But yeah, power, I mean, I agree. Like, you don't get that feeling of accomplishment, really, from learning or watching.
Right.
You get that feeling of accomplishment from doing,
but it's like a pseudo power, you know. That's why I think like it's kind of perverse in a lot of ways.
Well, it's become a real power
now.
It can't
be recreated in life in any way, shape, or form because nothing in life works that way, where you slowly do little meaningless things to do really powerful, meaningful things.
But now that there's real world reward for gameplay in a virtual environment, there.
Like what?
I do feel powerful. Like in World of Warcraft,
like
people sell their characters, right?
Well, they sell their money.
They compete in tournaments for various games and win lots and lots of money, mm-hmm. or they do so well that they end up getting a job, like I was telling you about Seth earlier today, the guy at Capcom.
Or they end up killing themselves.
Or that, right?
But
video games certainly help people feel more powerful now because they can be better than everyone else and then realize that, oh, wait, that could also earn money.
And that's why most RPGs require very little skill from the player, because its whole point is to get you addicted to wanting to gain more power and seeing just how powerful you can become. And that's why most RPGs are equipped with, well, you can do the end game by level 40, but if you reach level 70, then you can beat these side characters that really have no point other than to go, yeah, I did that.
Okay, would you be interested in a role-playing game that had a little bit more control of the character? Like, let's say you had the Soul Calibur characters.
Well, specifically, X-Men Legends was
the choice.
It's sort of the more Americanized RPGs where you actually have to take action. It's not really turn-based. Those are more my style. But even then, the only reason I played X-Men Legends was because it had X-Men characters. If you gave me a fantasy...
Yeah, but imagine if really, like, if you as a level 1 character could beat a level 5 character just because you were really good.
Yeah, which could happen, but at some point, it becomes all about what level you are, and your skill, your actual skill, doesn't really matter.
All right. Well, this is something I'd actually like to talk a little further about, but we are out of time. So, thank you for listening. Head over to chatterboxgameshow.com to learn a little bit more about the show and get involved in the next show. If you're not listening live right now, you could. Next week. We'll be back. If there's anything you wanted to talk about, email us at Alon or Ara or Rich at chatterboxgameshow.com. And of course, call in at 866-526-1100 next week. Anything else?
Good night, guys.
Hot property.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.